It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. what's your joy for this past season?
Let's see. Ooh, this is a joy that I haven't been able to talk about yet, but my partner's birthday was last month, and I got to surprise her at Super Nintendo World because she's a big gamer, and got all of her friends there to celebrate and to explore Universal Studios and Super Nintendo World because we hadn't gone yet, and they just opened in February, so that was really fun.
I remember seeing your video reel, and it looked absolutely fun. It looked fantastic.
It was so fun. It was cute, and she was really surprised too, so I was really happy about that.
That means you're good at surprises, but that's really nice. Thanks for sharing.
Not all the time, but thanks. What about you? What's your joy?
All right, so my joy actually for this past, you know, couple of weeks was eventually having the crown fitted onto one of my teeth. So I'd been struggling with immense dental pain from like December last year, and it was really so bad that I don't know what was going on, but I had that same tooth drilled 3 times. For a root canal, and it was painful, and I wasn't eating on one side, and then anyway, it was just been a very, it's been like 3 months of a lot of pain, headaches, pain, and it's just very uncomfortable. But eventually having to have the crown put in, and me now being able to eat with both sides of my mouth and not having that excruciating pain is really a joy. It just makes you realize.
I'm so glad you're not in pain anymore. Right. That sounds terrible.
Right. But yeah, that's been my joy. And so, nice. Jenny, what are we talking about today again?
So since it's been a while since we've recorded and a lot has happened, I think we just wanted to catch up on some news. There's just so much anti-trans legislation out there right now. And for some people who may feel overwhelmed or not reading up a lot locally and globally, this was just, you know, our way to do some of our research to see what's going on right now. And we are in the beginning of April. As we are recording this. So as of right now, I think we just wanted to touch upon and just be aware of what's going on. So that's what we're talking about today.
Right. And, you know, from what Jenny has said, sometimes it's important for us to highlight what's going on, because as a community, then it becomes a tool for us to support some of the organizations that are on ground doing some of this work. Sometimes a lot of the news that comes out of our community can tend to be sad, that's traumatic, involving a lot of activism, but then it's good for us to know some of these things that are happening so that we can also support the people at the forefront who are doing a lot of this work.
Yeah, it's not going to do us any good if we just stay silent.
100.
I guess I'll start. So for some of my research, I was following the Transformations Project. They're a grassroots nonprofit dedicated to tracking and educating about the anti-trans legislative crisis currently sweeping the U.S. So a lot of this will be from their research. So currently go ahead.
I was just going to say, if the trans community is being targeted, just know it's targeting all of us. It's not just targeting that trans community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So currently we have reached a point at which 14 states have passed or will soon pass gender-affirming care bans with veto-proof majorities. And the 14 states are North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Utah, Iowa, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. And
that's a lot.
There's so many. Among many of these anti-trans bills that were passed and new bills being introduced, there are dozens of other bills progressing, including bathroom bills, healthcare bans, drag bans, schooling bills, and sex designation bills. And I kind of just wanted to touch on each of those categories to maybe define it a little bit more for those who haven't been following along or, you know, who want to know a little bit more. I think for me, there were just so many bills out there. I really couldn't keep up. So this helped me a lot in just reading about it. So for bathroom bills, a bathroom bill denies access to public restrooms by gender or trans identity. They increase danger without making anyone any safer. They have even prompted attacks on cis and trans people alike. Many national health and anti-sexual assault organizations oppose these bills. So those are the bathroom bills. Healthcare bans. Healthcare bills go against professional and scientific consensus that gender-affirming care saves lives. Denying access will cause harm. Providers are faced with criminal charges. Parents are threatened with child abuse charges, and intersex children are typically exempted. For drag bans, public performance bans or drag bans restrict access for folks who are gender nonconforming in any way. They loosely define drag as any public performance with an opposite gender expression, as sexual in nature and inappropriate for children. This also pushes trans individuals out of public spaces. Schooling bills, schooling parental rights bills, remove life-saving affirmation and support for trans youth. They ban instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity. Teachers and administration are forced to misgender students and or use dead names. Schools are also required to alert parents if they suspect a child is trans. And the last category that I had mentioned is sex designation bills. These bills make it harder for trans folks to have IDs, such as birth certificates, that match their gender identity. They can force a male or female designation based upon sex assigned at birth. Some ban a non-binary X marker or require surgery to qualify for ID updates. So those are some of the categories that I just wanted to define a little bit more to just have this understanding of what those are that are out there.
You know, I've been listening to what you're saying, and I just remembered that sometime this week, I saw a TikTok of a Gen Z girl, talking about a lot of these bills coming up. Mm. And they mentioned two firms or two organizations that I'm curious about, I'm yet to research. One of the organizations they mentioned was Blackstone Investment, which is one of the biggest investments actually in the world, with $975 billion, I think it was. And in the TikTok video, they talked about this investment being behind a lot of some of these bills that like for oil drilling and, you know, that and guns and stuff like that, like why we don't have gun reformation, why we're not thinking mm-hmm. about our environment. And that was interesting to me. I'm not saying that this is, I've not researched this, but it was interesting to find that there's actually organizations behind some of these bills and injustices that we're seeing. And then the other one that you talked about that I hadn't heard of, but it sounds familiar, was the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is like a Christian evangelical body that's been behind a lot of these anti-LGBT bills, anti-trans bills, mm-hmm. and they are well-funded. And I was like, this actually makes sense. Please don't take my word for it. Do your own research. But it was interesting to me that this Gen Z mentioned two big organizations that have been behind a lot of these anti things that we're seeing rising.
I'm not surprised.
I wasn't either.
Not surprised.
Yeah, I wasn't either.
Disgusting.
Really?
Well, I know that, you know, we talked a lot about like anti-trans legislation that's been going around, but there are some wins that I want to touch on. You know, we have to celebrate the small wins. There was an unexpected win when the Supreme Court upheld an injunction in West Virginia allowing a 12-year-old trans girl to play on her middle school girls' team. So that was a win. But they also mentioned that this injunction is only upheld pending a lawsuit against the Save Women's Sports Act and the Biden administration's proposed Title IX rules regarding trans participation in sports provide several loopholes through which that particular law would be considered legal. And apart from the SCOTUS upholding the injunction against the West Virginia sports ban, New Jersey Governor Murphy signed Executive Order 326, adding New Jersey to the list of trans refugee states or safe states for trans people fleeing other states.
We need
those.
That's
another win. We need those.
Yeah, it's a win.
And then lastly, the ACLU of Kentucky has stated that it plans to fight SB 150, an under 18 healthcare ban, by filing a lawsuit. So this SB 150, Kentucky's SB 150, has been described as the worst anti-trans bill in the nation, functioning as an under 18 healthcare ban, a bathroom bill, a parental rights force outing bill, a don't say gay or trans bill, a ban on sex education prior to sixth grade, and also permit teachers to misgender students they know are trans. So this bill is terrible.
It's bad news.
It is evil.
Evil.
It's like an all-in-one evil bill.
The worst.
So there will be, so ACLU of Kentucky will be fighting that bill. Mm. Yeah. So just some local updates.
Yeah. So while Jenny was highlighting local updates, I kind of was browsing for some global updates in the queer section. I tried as much as possible to also bring some good news, but the truth of the matter is we're living in a world that is still oppressive towards so many marginalized and minority communities. And so one of the big news that's happening, and we've talked about this before, I think, is now we have tons of anti-LGBTQ bills which are springing up across Africa, with Uganda having the most draconian bill of all, which I think proposes death penalty for someone that's convicted of aggravated homosexuality, which I don't even know what aggravated homosexuality is, but basically a lot of these bills, like, you know, in Ghana, in Uganda, in Kenya, basically are being put in place to criminalize people for their identity. Which in many of these countries, there's a lot of problems that they have beside, you know, problems like corruption and poverty or lack of access to medical care, lack of access to proper education, lack of access to food, and there's no bills put in place to make sure that some of these basic human rights can be accessed by the minorities or the underprivileged communities. But what we're seeing are anti-LGBTQ bills. And for me, what's interesting about a lot of these bills is they're being funded by the evangelical organizations and churches in the US. And one of the evangelical organizations that actually has come up right now that's funding a lot of these bills, especially for the bill in Africa, is Family Watch. And yeah, so please do your diligence, do your research, and find out more about what's going on. The other trans news that I have for me, which is a win, yes, wins, is
yay, wins.
in Europe, for the first time of its kind in European history, we have a trans mask football team, which is called TRUK, TRUK, United FC. And for the interesting thing is they played their inaugural match on 31st March, which is also 2023, which is also their Trans Visibility Day. So even if they lost 8-1 in this match, it is the joy and the progress that this highlights that will definitely be an amazing historical marker. So a big win for the trans community.
Nice.
Yeah. And then the other win, which is not like so recent, was the highlight of Nigerian author Arinze Ifekandu, and I might have butchered this name, I'm so sorry. his story or his writing was shortlisted for the Dylan Thomas Prize. Now, the interesting thing about this particular book of his, which is called God's Children, A Little Broken Things, is that it's a publication of short stories of queer intimacy. Now, what is striking or what is beautiful about this is, one, he's a Nigerian author. So amidst all this anti-LGBTQ or homophobic community, we have people that are standing up and publishing stories and creating representations. So his stories basically highlight themes of queer male sensuality. There's, of course, grief in there. There's loneliness, obviously self-discovery. Mm-hmm. And then also he highlights the reality of being gay in modern day Nigeria. So even if we have a lot of news that can be disheartening, we also have good wins. Like, you know, Nigerian authors writing lovely, yeah, queer, intimate stories, or having trans mask football teams. So that's my small segment of global news in the queer community. And I hope you read up more, or this gives you an opportunity to find out about other things that could be happening in the queer community.
Yeah. I know that was really tough when that came out in about Uganda. How were you feeling that week?
So I'll be honest with you. And of course, I think I talked to Jenny about this before, but I'll be honest with our listeners. That bill, even if it hasn't been signed by the president into law, one of the reasons I didn't have the strength to even record, if you notice we took a long break, was the after effects of that bill. So according to that bill, I would be guilty of aggravated homosexuality, and I would definitely be, if it was passed into law, which would be a death penalty for me. And it was so depressing. I remember that night I didn't sleep, the night that it was passed. I was just like so just stressed out. But also knowing that, you know, with time, okay, you start to find out, you know, what is going on? Why is this bill passing? Who is behind the bill? Because a lot of the time, people just cover the story in itself. But we've had journalists that have been covering who is behind the bill, and that's how Family Watch has come to the forefront as one of the organizations that's backing up these anti-LGBTQ laws. But in just, for me, what's very sad about it is, one, it's being backed up by people who claim to be Christians, who claim to love and to uphold love and compassion. But why would you pass a bill that criminalizes someone's identity? It's just like saying, let us kill all people who lie. I don't think anyone would survive in the world if we were to kill people who lie. It's just like, you know, seeing my friends' mental health, a couple of my friends in Uganda, just seeing their mental health go down the drain, hearing stories of, you know, young adults in their 20s being arrested. I think six of them were arrested in one of the cities, I think Jinja, if I'm not mistaken. It's been really hard. And for me also, what's been hardest is knowing that some of my family support this bill. Like, how the heck can you support such a bill? Like, and some of the reasons being given have been heartbreaking. But to also see this being passed across Africa as those, that is not our culture, yet Africa has been known to have queer deities in their religion, to have queer, we have queer ancestors. So it's hard. And to see this alongside women's rights being taken away, to see this alongside a lot of anti-trans legislation in the US, it really does take a toll. And I don't want to be a dampener, but I think sometimes there's room for someone to express how sad they are or how disheartened they are.
There's always room for you to express that. And I'm so sorry. I'm just sorry that you felt that. And also thank you for, you know, being vulnerable and sharing, because that's really hard.
Really hard. And I'm not even at like the forefront. I'm just imagining, because I have one of the friends that I talk to, not every day, but often. And they're always like, Mary, just keep your mouth shut. You're not on ground. You do not know what we're going through. And they're right. I'm not on ground. Yeah. I'm not at the forefront. So I cannot even imagine what they're going through.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Well, please keep us posted on what's going on and, you know, how your friends are doing over there. Have you talked to your family? How do you navigate that conversation?
I actually haven't talked to anyone. No, I just...
Yeah.
It's been a couple of weeks. I just don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life happens.
Well, thank you. Yeah, life happens. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that, Mary.
I don't want to end this on like a dump.
I know. I was just going to say, what is your queerly noted?
My queerly noted is, I'm not even sure I can call it a queerly noted, but the fact that we have wins, the fact that we have people representing their authentic selves, like Track United FC, or like Arinze Ifekandu, the Nigerian writer, being able to express themselves authentically alongside bigotry and homophobia and oppression and suppression is a big win.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I think
that's my joy. I mean, that's my queerly noted, maybe.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think we need to focus on these wins, but also we need to just continue educating ourselves. You know, I think it's harder to speak or fight or advocate for something if you don't know about it, or if you don't know how to speak on it, or if you don't really know what it's doing and how harmful it is. Mm. So continuing to educate, but also so happy that amidst all of the harm, people are still showing up authentically and fighting. I think
snaps.
That's important.
snaps. Because I can't snap, like, you know, physically, but for real, that's awesome. Yeah. People are showing up authentically. Yeah. Wait, was that your queerly noted?
That was my queerly noted.
Oh my God. That's deep. People are still showing up authentically.
Yeah.
That was it, folks.
That was it.
We love you.
Love y'all.
If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you. So please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY. Love y'all.